Let me tell you about Moo.com. Promo code Drinking Bros. Gonna get you 20% off your first order over there. Did you know there's an online cannabis store that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to target nearly every mood and health concern you can think of. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. Whether that's the magic mind gummies for deep work and creativity, the PMS support to ease cramps and balance mood swings, or their sexual euphoria gummies to help you feel ready for the action at every turn. And touch into a full body experience over there. Listen, I love the night-night gummies, as I call them, the sleepy time gummies. I take, right now they're 15 milligrams. I cut it in half, and I take half a night. 15 minutes, dude, you are gone. I've never had anything like it. 15, 20 minutes tops, and I'm out. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days, gas stations, whatever. Mood's functional gummies, though, combine premium federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. Plus, Texas Governor Abbott just said it was all right to get these shipped through the mail. He vetoed the bill down here. Thank God. So order from mood.com today. Use that promo code Drinking Bros for 20% off your first order. Everything ships discreetly right to your front door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with the promo code Drinking Bros. So head on over to mood.com. Find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. Don't forget to use the promo code Drinking Bros when you check out to save 20% off your first order. Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with the help of Hims. They provide access to personalized treatments so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Yeah, 3 to 6 months. That's it, kids. Hims offers convenient access to a range of prescription hair loss treatments with ingredients that work, including chews, oral medications, serums, and sprays. Doctor-trusted, clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil can stop hair loss and regrow your hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of your own home. Fill out an intake form, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. The process is 100% online, which means getting started has never been more convenient. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Plus, treatment options start at $35 per month. Hims has helped hundreds of thousands of men get their confidence back with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/drinkingbros. That is hims.com/drinkingbros for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/drinkingbros. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely smoothly and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1-pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to AeroHit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
Welcome to Drinking Bros. Put down the water and grab a fucking drink.
Yeah!
Free Willy!
I'm all the way up! Nothing can stop me, I'm all the way up!
Yeah!
Welcome to Drinking Bros, motherfuckers! Wow, it has been a moment. We did the last show without me.
We missed you.
Shit.
What we missed there was you just completely disgusted with what I say, because they don't really get that disgusted. And I threw a few things out there, and they were just like,
That's Jared. That's Jared.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You just went there.
Yeah, because you physically say shit that makes me want to vomit all over my dick. Like, there's a lot of things you say that are just so gross that I'm like, oh, my God. Thank God I'm not in the same room.
Yeah, but your rebuttal should always be cum. Jared hates cum. It's his go-to.
Stop. He does it.
And like you were talking about earlier, dipping semen.
Oh, God. It's a welcome. Cum dip. Welcome back to Drinking Bros. As always, we got a few sponsors. I think the first one we know. We know what it is. Is it a delicious meat that's shipped in a box?
Yes.
Is it coming to your door? Is it called carnivore? CarnivoreClub.co?
I believe it is.
Do they have a promo code of Drinking Bros that gives you 10% off your first box?
I believe they do.
Do they have anything Italian? Do they have anything spicy Italian? Do they have anything spicy spreadable pork? What do they have there? They got meats and boxes. So you should get some meats and boxes. Go to CarnivoreClub.co, enter the promo code Drinking Bros to get 10% off your first fucking box.
And Timmy now is inducted. He's officially inducted. He's
Timmy!
He is a fellow Drinking Bro now. He joined the group.
I didn't get to meet him. How was Tiny Tim? How was Tiny
Tim? Carnivore Club. He's a good dude, you know? Nice. When he starts drinking, gets his Canadian accent comes out quite a bit.
Yeah. Is it French? Is he French-Canadian?
All Canadians are French.
Are they really?
I'm pretty sure.
That's not a thing. Comes from the guy that said Argentina.
I think
that's
almost, a lie.
Me saying that comment a month ago at the joint exercise with the Canadians almost got me punched.
Man, I don't know what was going on in that whole goddamn podcast, whether he was French, Canadian. He had a weird accent. But either way, we love him. We love you, Tim. Thanks for being on. I'm sorry I couldn't meet you. He did throw me out by name in the last podcast. He's like, I don't get to meet the guy with the big dick. That's my fucking French.
Is he now a terrorist?
Whatever, man. He could be.
That's the guy with the large dick.
He could be a terrorist. Nobody, did you guys pat him down? No, you didn't. You're all military. You just let this stranger walk into your house with a box full of meats.
He was
a weird accent. And he's not a terrorist? You guys just let that slide?
No,
cool.
I patted him down.
There was pork meat, though. He had pork meat in his box.
This is why we record separately, because if you guys get blown up, you know, by a weird terrorist with a meat box, I'm not responsible for that shit. I don't want him coming to my house asking questions. The next one we got, this is a new one, but this is my new favorite one. This is a little company called Strike Force Energy Drink. I'm drinking it now. As you can tell, I'm hyped up. I'm all the way up.
Thoroughly enjoy this. Like, it's now becoming a morning ritual, as I will fill a huge cup of water and throw that in there because I actually like it.
Yes, and it's not in a fucking can. It's in a package. You dump it in water. You can dump it in Coke. You
can
dump
powder. It's liquid.
It's liquid. It tastes. It's so goddamn delicious. I drank 3 in one day. Not gonna lie, stayed up way, way past my bedtime. Mm-hmm. The witching hour is what they call it. What was way up past the witching hour? 4 a.m.
Yeah,
you know, I was up till 7 when the child got up. I got up, you know,
yeah.
And I was lifting him all the way up out of the crib. That's how hyped
that
I was.
Fucking song.
Yeah, and they ship anywhere around the world. They have subscriptions. You can get a fucking. I recommend a subscription. I got a whole goddamn box of this shit, and I just immediately ordered more. There's 5 packs, in a there's 10 packs in a goddamn box. They ship 4 boxes anywhere in the entire world. Just use the promo code Drinkin' Bros and they're giving you 20% off.
Yeah, but if you're a retard and you put a G in Drinkin' Bros, you only get
19.5% off is what they said.
Is that really?
Yeah. For the idiots that spell it wrong, they only get 19.5% off.
Yeah. And it is no shit my favorite energy drink in the world. I'm high as fuck on it right now. And it's magic. It's magic is what it is. If you're a mom in the suburbs, you should get this shit. I'm sure you've got a lot of things going on.
Ross made me freeze it and then crush the crushed ice onto my boner, and he snorted it off of it.
I did. Hey, by the way, fun fact, you can snort it. That was in their packet, yes.
Oh, wow.
So you can snort the energy drink.
Wow.
That's some next level shit.
That sounds dangerous.
It sounds like it's my next thing.
Does it always have to be snorted off an erect penis, though?
No, I mean, it can be.
Oh,
it can be.
That just adds to the, like, flavor.
The magic of it. The magic of it.
We wanted a little bit more salt content.
Let's tear through these sponsors so we can get to our guests. We got a couple good ones in here today. Of course, the next one's a whiskey. The finest whiskey in the lands. It comes from straight from the mountains of Vietnam, where the Americans gave their lives for this country. If they packaged up, you know, the blood and the soil and put it in a fucking bottle, it's called Lensslinger's whiskey. It might as well come with a drone that's a bald eagle. Just drops it off in front of your house.
I'm just like not talking this episode. I'm just gonna listen to you.
I am strike force energy up, dude.
Are there mountains in Vietnam? I don't know. If there were, they're American.
Yeah. straight from the jungles. Straight from the jungles. Lensslinger's whiskey. And if you're over there, let's say you got a long journey back over from Vietnam, you might as well take a book. You might as well take At Night She Cries While He Rides His Steed, the first ever romance novel for dudes, the greatest goddamn book ever written in the history of the United States. Article, what was the Constitution? What was number 7 on there? You remember? Me neither. This book you will remember the rest of your lives. Go to audible.com, amazon.com.
Like, oh, fuck, I know it.
And on this Drinking Bros, we got a very, very special guest, and his name is Freddie Wong. I may be right. I may be wrong.
Oh, yeah. I've never heard that.
Ever, right? Ever.
Dude, straight up, when I was a kid, my bus driver would give me and my brother shit. He'd be like, yo, 2 wongs don't make a right. And it'd be the same joke for all of first grade.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah.
I know where you're coming from.
Does it still hurt?
It still hurts inside.
Have you ever seen Dickisode? For Aqua Teen Hunger Force?
No.
With Wong Burger?
Oh my god.
Another obscure Jared reference.
Seriously,
since you're new to the podcast,
four.
Yeah. Any obscure movie that you've never seen or TV show, Jared will bring that up. Jared will find that thing and be like, oh man, do you remember that? Oh, that one show was really popular in Nigeria in 88. God, it had a little kid who was shipped over in a box. It was kind of like Indian in a Cupboard, but like Forrest Whitaker was in it. You're like, what the fuck are you talking about here? Don't even know what that is.
Ross isn't mentioning, but we are live from Los Angeles right now.
The City of Angels.
City of Angels. Rocco had to bounce back to Texas, so you just have Ross, Matt, JT.
And we have another special guest.
Yeah, Freddie, he's been on the... I have. And Eli.
Eli's
back.
Cuevas.
Third one.
Say it in Spanish.
Cuevas.
Okay, say it in English.
Cuevas.
Okay, cool. Just wanted to double check on that pronunciation.
And Eli pops in. Eli has popped in a lot of Freddy stuff. He was in Video Game High School Season 2, correct?
Three.
And he's also, you know, he's hidden in different, but he's in our movie.
Yeah.
He has a part with Clinton Jones.
He does.
And now he's producing his new show, Drunken Debrief, which everybody in the fucking military is getting a huge kick out of.
Nice. And I know this is a special day for you.
Yes.
I know you are a huge fan of Freddie. I know.
that's the face when I handed him.
Yeah.
That, I was like, yo, here's the phone.
You can't see it now. Jared's blushing.
Yeah.
You look like he walked into Jimmy John's on a dollar sub day. Like, I've never seen him this happy. It was just like, oh my gosh. So if you could tell the audience why you're so excited about Freddie, what you've enjoyed about his work. You've been talking about him forever. I feel like this is like Matt's Arnold Schwarzenegger today that came in. Like
pretty close.
That was the shift. In 2008, when I had purchased, I used my bonus to buy all that equipment and jumping on YouTube, his videos, they are what pioneered home VFX, what launched off, you know, what is now all the guys that have have risen and everything. I mean, you were the first one.
That's crazy. That
you, wow, the first one. Look at that.
Like, you are the Messiah.
Yeah, the Messiah.
Yeah.
And you were the first one.
It was, watching those videos. I would try and copy him. I would jump on Andrew Kramer's site and watch the tutorials because, you know, you would always point us sometimes there. Oh, we learned this from Video Copilot and that was it. That's what I wanted to do.
You know, and that's a crazy thing because, you know, Freddie, you look pretty young, right? How old are you?
I'm 30.
Yeah, you're 30.
If I'm Asian, though, I could be 43.
You could be. I know. You could be 14. You could be 82.
Anything in between.
Yeah. No, for sure. But that's got to be crazy at just 30 years old. Like, people look up to you and aspire to do the things you were doing.
It's so weird because here's the thing. It's like internet years, right? Because we started in, like, 2009, 2010.
Right.
And it's so weird to be like, yeah, like, oh, yeah, we're doing this and this. I'm like, this was only like 5 years. Like, this is a lot of time.
Yeah.
You know?
But like, it's the shift has changed that much within the internet that it's like.
Yeah, because like for me, like what I look back at is like, I'm looking at like, oh yeah, this director from the 70s and stuff. It's like 30 years ago. And then now it's like, you know, and I think the big difference is like kids, especially like the younger sort of generation, definitely. It's like they're growing up with YouTube. Like, I got Blockbuster Video when I grew up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And like, we didn't have online anything, so it was just like, yeah, we got a camera, like where can we put this? Like, oh, I guess we'll put it on YouTube, and that's sort of all where it all started. But it's weird, man. I don't know
a little known fact too, because I started watching YouTube like 2010. I got heavily into it before I started my channel, and you play guitar very well.
Thank you.
We need to get a jam session going down because I like to party. You know,
dude, let's do it. We gotta fill up these airwaves now that Prince is gone.
I know, dude. Don't even get me started on Prince.
Have you guys seen when he played the solo at the end of While My Guitar Gently Weeps? Have you seen that?
Yeah, dude. Are you kidding? That's arguably one of the greatest. The halftime performance at the Super Bowl was one of the greatest. We talked about it on a podcast, ironically, about 10 days before he died.
Ah.
On an episode called My Name is Broquel, I told a 10-minute Prince story. But when I got to see him, and he played an 18-minute live version of Purple Rain inside a restaurant in front of my face, tore my dick and balls clean off my body.
Damn.
They're still missing. They're in L.A.
Yeah.
If anybody's seen my dick and balls, just send it back to me.
Send it to the APO address we have listed.
Yeah, because I'd like them back. I'm using a baby elephant trunk right now that died in Africa. It died in Africa. It's a transplant right now, but I can give it back to somebody else.
It's like a loaner program.
It's a loaner trunk.
Yeah, there you go.
Go to lonertrunk.com. It's another sponsor we have.
lonertrunk.com.
You can get your own baby elephant cock for yourself. I wanted to touch on something else. What you were saying about the internet is, I think with the immediacy of it and all the kids growing up with the internet now, since it's only been 5 years in your world, in their minds, it's like 20. It's a lifetime.
Yeah,
they feel like they've been seeing Freddie Wong shit for
half their lives.
Yeah.
I mean, even I feel like that. And it was 2009. I think I saw the first. What was your first viral video?
The first like viral thing that we did. That kind of
it was
like,
lightsaber dicks, wasn't it?
Lightsaber
assholes. Jedi assholes.
Fucking knew it.
Yeah. Lightsaber
dicks. Because I'm all the way up.
We had a run of three that kind of like really popped off. One was Flower Warfare, which was one that was like using like flowers and stuff instead of you know, flashes and blood and stuff. We had one that was called Chrono Trigger, which was like a time freeze, like a little action scene.
Right.
And that was one. And then the other one was the first huge one was a real life first person shooter, which was, we shot on, like, at the time it was the GoPro Hero 2. And what's funny too is like when we shot that, at the end of 2010, and like years later I met one of the like high up marketing dudes at GoPro.
Right.
And they're like, yeah. It's like, yeah, we love your stuff. It's like, especially the first person shooter one. I'm like, oh, okay, that's like a really old video. They're like, then they're like, yeah, that's like one of the first videos on a GoPro that people saw. I was like, wait, what? He's like, yeah, because like everyone was doing sports stuff, but to have it not be like a sports thing.
Sure.
Like they're like, yeah, everyone knew about that at GoPro because we were like, oh, hey, here's a video that's not a dude surfing.
Right. And there's a first person. Cool.
Hardcore Henry.
Yeah, Hardcore Henry is out in theaters now, and that's the first ever first person.
Did they shoot that on GoPro?
I have no idea.
I don't know. I mean, they use a mixture of stuff because it's all first person.
I feel like you get real dizzy watching an hour and a half.
That's what I feel too. Oh, but
I'm interested.
Yeah, I'm curious because it's weird. It's weird to think that you probably started that.
I'll tell you like what the two things that I think about where it's like maybe like I'm never gonna just be like that's us that's like, you know, that's too much. You know what I'm saying? But I feel like the two small things we may have influenced is first-person camera stuff, just because GoPro at the time was just, like, the smallest camera that you could get. And I was like, oh, this could work, and we kind of were messing around with that. And then the other thing was we have this, like, camera rig that is, like, a steering wheel. It looks like a steering wheel.
It's oh, shit. We use those in movies all the time.
Yeah, and so the thing about that one is I remember the two things I put together was I remember seeing a documentary on the guy who did The Raid.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, we swear by this. I'm like, huh. And then also then, and then like in a blog post that he'd written, he was like, oh yeah, we also love like these, this guy makes a bunch of good videos. I was like, I wonder if he got the idea for the steering wheel thing.
You know what's funny? I used a steering wheel thing in one of my movies and the DP had brought it in. He was like, oh man, I got this steering wheel thing with his camera. It's going to be a fucking dope shot. And I was like, awesome, man. I was like, what, did you just build this on your own? And he's like, no, no, no. Man, I saw some other dude do it. I wonder if you were the other dude. I wonder
it could be.
I wonder if 4 years later, those dicks are touching.
Well, dude,
yeah.
And
those
yeah.
streams the, cross.
The circle, yeah. The circle is one of my TAC P buddies appears in this video. Like, right when, you know, everybody's kind of got Facebook. Because I didn't get it until 2009.
Facebook?
Yeah, because you couldn't if you didn't go to college. And I didn't
back in those MySpace days, bro.
We were hanging out on MySpace. Yeah. Facebook was for the fucking granola eaters.
I had
Facebook like it was like you as I went to USC, so like USC was one of the first schools because they're like this was like when they were like, okay, it shouldn't be Ivy Leagues, it should be party schools, and they gave it, and it was like, it was back then. I remember literally being like, yeah, have you seen the Facebook? Because it was still
the Facebook. Yeah, right.
You gotta get on the Facebook. I'm like, this sounds like my dad talking about computers.
Attack P appears in this funny little short. And it's one of Eli's. And then shortly after that, they crank out this badass first-person shooter one that's really fucking funny. And then it was like, okay, I have to know this person. So I do what I normally do and just...
Stalk them online?
Yeah.
And then, send them pictures of their children and say, if you don't reply to my email, I know where you are.
Yeah. Have you seen my Instagram numbers?
Yeah.
Call me, dude.
Call me.
Call me, bro. My engagement's huge. Call me. We know the game, Jared. You hooked me in, too. God damn it. That's why we're all here.
Well, and then years later, he gets to come down here and work at Rocket Joe.
I know. And that's amazing. And I'm sure the question you get more than anything, Freddie, is... Oh my God, you must have the greatest job in the world. You get to make videos with your buddies all day.
Yeah. Oh, it absolutely is, by the way.
And it is. But can you talk a little bit about the hard work that goes into it? Because I think that's what most of the kids don't see out there. They're just like, oh man, we can make videos with our buddies and we'll get paid. Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah. No, for sure. Like, I think the thing that, what you don't see is you don't see the time that goes into it. Like, for the first 2 years, we were doing like one video a week. And that meant it was basically one all-nighter a week right before it came out.
Yeah.
So for 2 years, it was like I did like an all-nighter a week and got to the point where I think I have like the world's shittiest superpower now, because I can fall asleep in like 30 seconds to 1 minute. If I close my eyes and concentrate on it, I wish I had that.
I wish I could fall asleep.
Like,
on
dude,
people.
Like I can get on like, I can like plane rides. I can be like, I can be out before these wheels leave the ground, and I'm up the moment we touch down.
Dude, you're the guy I want to sit next to. Yeah. Usually I get the fat guy who you can smell the cheese, whatever cheese he's been eating out
hummus.
Of his pores.
The hummus.
Oh, yeah,
platter.
The hummus. And he's all stretched out because he got on before me.
Yeah.
He's got that one elbow.
The elbow.
On the armrest.
Get your fucking elbow.
Yeah,
the middle, like,
middle elbow.
I'm 6'3", 200. Like, I mean, Daddy needs to stretch his legs out. Yeah. This Range 15 edit, I've been eating like a motherfucker. I just can't stop. Because it's Chinese in the afternoon. Yeah. You're hungry an hour later.
Oh, absolutely.
And then pizza at night. And you get it. You're working these all-night shifts.
Oh, you're all over the place.
And it stinks in there, like 30 different foods.
Well, a lot of Thai food actually down here.
Yeah. Everybody gets Thai. Yeah.
The weird thing was like, we were, and because some people also be like, yo, when did you guys start to get recognized? When did that start happening? And it's like, dude, it started happening really late because we wouldn't go out. It's not like we'd be like, yo, let's make the video time to party. Be like, no, we're just making videos.
I think it's the same thing with these guys.
Yeah, like, you always ask us, oh, do you get recognized everywhere you go? Like, well, no, because I hardly leave my house.
You don't go anywhere. You can't go anywhere to get recognized. What are you talking about? I mean, because I remember we were like, the only time we left would be like, yo, this movie's coming out. Let's go at midnight to go see this movie. And it'd be like the one time we'd ever like physically leave this like loft that we were working out of. And it was only then, because we go to these movies and people are like, yo, you're the guys who make these YouTube videos. And we're like, oh. That's right. There's a world outside of
where you're at.
Because
we get so caught up in just the platform,
and the,
dude.
And
that
the numbers
it exists.
Are weird. Because it doesn't mean anything. At the end of the day, it's like, I don't know.
3 million views, you're like, oh, okay, that's cool. And then that translates to a fuck ton of people that right, watched exactly. it. You don't really put that in your head until you see crowds and you're like, holy shit.
Yeah, and it's the same way with movies. Like, it's just extended. You know, you're working 4 months on this shit, and it's the same way. And then you go out, and you get recognized at the worst fucking time. Your hair is all...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You've got a cheeseburger wrapper, like, on your cheek, and they're like,
Someone just pissed you off,
too. Yeah. Like, can I get a pic? And it looks... You're like...
The worst... Like, okay, it's not the
is
worst.
Is that the face?
Yeah.
It's not the worst, but it's also, like, awkward when it's, like, you're eating. Have you ever got this one? Where it's, like, you're eating, and the person who's serving you knows, and you're just like... I gotta leave a good tip now because I can't,
I can't be
the dude who's like, yo, I met him. He fucking sucks at tipping. He's
a shitty Asian tipper. I bet he's not making shit off YouTube.
Yeah, because
this tip is long.
Because I got a friend who's like a servant. He's like, yeah, dude, it's like the worst thing. It's like Asians come in, man. And like, I even my parents, like, I'll go back home and I'll be like, dad, like, how much are you tipping? And they're like, what, like 15%? I'm like, inflation.
Yeah. It's 20 now.
I'm like, really? I'm like, yeah, think about it. If it was 15, 10 years ago, it's got to be a little bit more now.
Yeah.
Oh, and it's like, I'm like, so like, I feel like it's like, whenever it's like that, it's like, I can't get that right. I can't be a reputation being a dick. Like, I got to give a 25% tip
you
now.
You can't pull out the iPhone and pull up the calculator. Like, 18.5%.
No. No.
Because then you're the Asian with a calculator on top of it.
You can't do that. You can't be like, oh, no, the tax don't count. I got to do the pre-tax. It's like, no, you got tip with the tax now.
Yeah.
it's always a little bit.
I like when they have the automated machines, like on the iPads, and they swipe, because then they turn around and it has the 20 or it maxes out at 18, so I don't feel like a dick. I hit 18 and sign real quick. I didn't want to hit the other button and type shit.
We've had some really cool people that I think kind of get it, and it's funny because we'll actually sometimes follow up or something if someone's super cool when they meet us, and they're like, a dude comes up like, hey, I know you guys are probably busy as fuck, can I get a quick pic? Love you, love what you do, bye, boom. And he's gone, and we're like, oh, we really like that guy.
Yeah, he was great.
But then we have these others that are like hey, so I have this business idea.
Oh God, do you get that?
You
got this idea for a sketch. It'd be really funny.
We do. And it's like, and it's also just the people where it's just like they've never used their camera before.
Yeah,
it's like I literally can't tell you how many times where it's like, I'm like the camera comes on, I'm like, at 50%, this is pointing the wrong way. That's I'll tell you the craziest thing I've ever seen though was, so it's like, I mean, like, I don't know your guys' life. My life, it's like, I'm, you know, like, I got the Asian thing going, which is like, if someone sees that, there's a risk if they come up to me because they look at me and I can see this look. And it's like, they look at me and they're like, oh my gosh, is that? And then the second thought hits, which is, Jackie Chan. If I'm wrong. Like,
I'm wrong about the wall.
Then I'm hella racist. I just went up to a rando Asian guy and said he looked like another Asian guy. So it's like, I guess
it's pretty hard to like miss, you know.
Yeah. You're tatted. Yeah, I mean,
tatted and a beard.
But you do get, oh dude, it's Dable's area.
Did
I get a picture of Dable's area?
I got Marcus Luttrell at the airport.
Yeah, dude was like,
Marcus Luttrell? And I was just like, really?
No. But I get that Asian benefit though, so it's not like. But like the craziest thing I saw was like these Vine teens, these hot Instagram boys.
Yeah.
I remember my other friend of mine talked to him once. And they're like, so how'd you get started? Just like as a curious, and like literally his answer was, well, one day I got out of the shower and I took a picture of myself.
Yeah.
And then I just kept doing that. It's like, that's it?
Yeah.
Like, you just took pictures of yourself until you have millions of. But they got these crazy. So what they did was I saw they arranged all their fans. Arranged themselves in a giant circle, and everyone was facing inwards on the circle, and they had their phones out, and their phones are pointed at them facing out of the circle. So it's like spokes, right? So it's like they're holding their arms out. Everyone's pointed into the center of the circle, and all these girls are pointing their cameras facing themselves, leaning out. The guy would run like in a circle around them and just do like a wheel. And like in every single one, just like stop for a second, get a selfie. So it was like a selfie wheel.
Is that the future?
I think you just created something else, Freddie.
It's like a circle pit in a metal concert, but for fucking selfies.
Yeah.
I need a fucking selfie wheel.
It was like 200 selfies in like 5 minutes.
Selfie wheel.
It was insane.
I like that a lot, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys can get your folks to do that, but I'm just saying, like, if you got, you know, the teenage girl crowd was more than willing.
If you're able to hold a selfie wheel, you've made it. Yeah. You've made it.
Another person that left a lasting impression. This chick like beelines through hundreds of people walking, hands one of us this metal business card and goes, "You don't know me, but you should."
Damn.
And then gone.
Metal.
It was metal.
Metal card.
It was a power move, dude.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's huge.
But I looked him up and I was like, I need a fucking metal business card. They're like $4 a piece. It's like, no, I don't.
I'd like to get to a point where you're just leaving a sword and you have to unsheath it and it says my name, Ross Michael Patterson. Yeah. Purveyor of all things sexual.
I think I'm at the point now where I just don't want business cards anymore. Like, if I want to give somebody...
Dude, that's a power move.
If I want to give somebody my phone number, I just give it to them.
I've never had a business card.
So this is what I say. I say, I'm like, you know what? We just got a redesign that's getting printed up right now. Because... then it's like, nah, you ain't calling me.
I don't want an email from this.
We'll go from there. That's the thing,
is I've gotten too many just massive emails about, so I have this idea for a business that is like Uber,
yeah.
But you're just like, oh my God.
JT can't complain about that. He's the guy that walks down Sunset and hands a business card to like homeless person. It's like, hey man, you'd be great
just
to
in case. just in case that homeless guy blows the fuck up.
Yeah. Hey dude, I was there on my Sunset, car, homie.
Yeah.
Now we're all the way up.
Yeah, I'm all the way up. I remember that bus stop, you know?
The all the way up thing is, who does that song?
Fat Joe. That's our new song right now.
Ross is playing it in the car. And it's
Fat
just,
Joe in French Montana, and it's that is lodged in my skull.
They just yell all the way up the whole entire song.
Yeah, no one can stop us. We're all the way up. So Freddie, I had a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you remember your first favorite sketch online that you saw and you were like, oh shit, this is what I really want to do, or I could do this, or this would be a dream?
Oh man, let me think.
Did you ever watch Good Neighbor?
I know mine.
Good Neighbor was great.
I loved it.
Good Neighbor was great.
The blowjob tubes? Derek, one of my favorite ones.
Derek Comedy, if you remember.
Yeah.
I called Derek Comedy, and that was Donald Glover who went on to go be who he is now, you know?
The Childish Gambino.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The talent show one. The one where it's like the guy goes up and it's like he's playing the piano on the talent show, and it's like, my dad hits me. And it's just like quiet for a second and it just keeps going. Like, those are all good stuff. Yeah, no, like I remember watching, God, what was it? It was like, I'll tell you the first thing actually I saw on YouTube, which was Lazy Sunday.
I think
a lot of people actually, the first thing they saw on YouTube was that, because I was like, yo, there's this SNL sketch. Like, we should see it. How do we watch this on the internet? Let me dial.
That was one of those I remember where I was. When Lazy Sunday hit, I remember where I was.
Me too.
I was at my buddy's house, and I was up for SNL at the time, so I was watching them every fucking week. And that came on, and I turned to my buddy, and I was like, oh, shit. Dude, that's going to change the fucking game. And then the next day, it was online and fucking explode. It was like 30 million views, and it was like, that was kind of, I want to say the Lonely Island, that sketch in particular.
And even the old Lonely Island stuff was great.
Oh, I know.
There was a lot of stuff back in the day. It was called Channel 101.
Which was
Dan Harmon, the guy who created Community.
And
Rick and Morty and everything. It's co-created.
Our podcast is higher than his, by the way. Right. We're all the way up, Dan. Nothing can stop us.
But they did a thing in LA, which would be like every month they'd get a bunch of people and they'd do little shorts.
Yep.
And you could see those online. And I remember a lot of those and being like, man, this is really funny. This is good stuff. I remember just watching that stuff.
It was at Hollywood Boulevard at a club.
Right,
and like all these cool comedians, I used to go. Sunday nights or Monday nights. And all these cool comedians would go. And it was cast off pilots that were like really fucking underground or gritty. And
it was it was a group vote. Like, everyone would watch it, and then people would vote to be like, I want to see another episode of that, or Kill It.
Yep.
And a lot of crazy Justin Roiland, the guy who's, Rick and Morty with Dan Harmon now, like,
love Rick and Morty.
Came out of that and, like, had done that at some point, which was really interesting.
Totally. And, like, Bob Odenkirk used to host sometimes and, bring in shows. And that was truly like, oh, shit, this is a group of people who are making amazing shit.
Yeah.
Then it kind of splintered off. Once the internet really hit, it splintered off, and everybody was like, I'm just going to
do
my
own
page, do my own thing. Why does Kids You Know kind of took the space for a little while?
Yeah.
Like, I mean.
I even cut that show.
Really?
I
would watch everything that they put out. My favorite one of yours is The Portal Guy.
Oh, that was the first one that we're like, okay, let's do this. I literally remember it was March 2010. We had that idea forever, and like we had never done it. Because we're just like, we need like a portal gun prop though. Like, is Valve gonna make one? And should we build one? Should we talk to a prop maker? And then finally, we're just like, wait, do we though? Can we just take a Nerf gun and just do it? Like, who cares? I'm like, yeah, let's just do it. And then, you know, so that was like
my favorite part in this sketch is he gets mad at his buddy. And he's like, fine, fuck you. Boom, boom. He jumps and he just speeds up. He's just falling through the thing.
Jared fangirl. I love it.
Jared.
That's Jared. I love your little crush right now. Yeah. We're going to have to get a group photo cute. Later.
Yeah.
Mine, let's see. So the Lazy Sunday was big for me. There was a sketch called Cars on Funny or Die. I was over at Funny or Die for when okay, their inception. Yeah. Yeah. Cars, you want to get fingered or you want to get fucked? And it was about a crazy car salesman. It's my to this day is my favorite sketch.
That's, yeah. That's real.
Oh, that's in there. And he goes, he goes, on Sundays you can reach inside a shark's mouth and pick a prize for your kid. He reaches inside a shark's mouth and pulls out a bloody knife. It's awesome. Yeah. And he keeps screaming at the people in the commercial, you want a fucking car? Fuck you. If you don't want the car, I'll give you a fucking car. You know? And it's rage. The guy's head's exploded at the end. That was my favorite sketch.
Work on that one?
What's up? I did not. But ironically, years later, I ended up hiring the guy to do coloring and effects and all that shit later. Cool. And he was like, he'd hit me up, you know, online, was like, hey, man, I'm a fan of yours. And he was like, I used to do sketches back in the day. And then I was like, oh, yeah? I was like, what sketch you did? And he goes, you ever see a sketch called Cars? And I was like, I Freddie walked out. It was like my soft 9 went to 14. And I was like, oh, shit.
Well, is it pre-elephant trunk? Or
Yeah.
This is before his dick fell off.
Your dick fell off?
Yeah. Okay. From trunk. Yeah. Pre-trunk.
Pre-trunk. Cool.
Yeah. And again, go to pretrunk.org.
R.I.P.
It's an org? It's an organization?
It's a biz. They got biz and they got .gov. So go to pretrunk.gov.
You guys seen all the new URLs are coming.
Asia.
Oh my god.
Dude, I bought
you guys gonna get some?
I never get suckered into those. Do you?
Dude, I want .dad so bad.
.dad?
There's .dad.
Oh,
Asian
.dad.
Yeah, Asian .dad.
Dude, I bought
that's a porn site. That's a porn site.
I bought fuck the fuck off .asia.
Dot Asia.
Yeah. Because.
Hey, bro, go to my website. Fuck the fuck off. Dot Asia.
It was this joke that we had in the company that was just like, oh, really? Really? That's great. Because you can go see that on fuck the fuck off. Dot Asia. And then Evan and I own hamsterpole.com.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hamsterpole.
Because you never know when you need a hamster pole.
Oh, yeah.
What about is cleanhamster.org available? Clean hamster?
Meatpony.com. Damn, you got some good ones. I had one where I was like, straight up, was like about to go to bed. I was sleeping. I was like, oh, wait, does that exist? I literally got up out of bed to my computer and I have erectoralcollege.com.
Oh, Nailed it. Wow.
It's like, I got to do a thing because the election's coming up. It's like, I got to do a thing. It was just like, it's just dicks growing across America. And
right.
It's going to be perfect. It's erectoral college. Like a visual representation. Of votes.
I've got a buddy of mine who's got like a normal job, you know, at like a sales position company. And to get like little things back, he bought up all the official. So he bought theofficialwalmart.com.
No.
The official, yeah. And all he does is get these letters, these cease and desist letters all day. And that's like his sick little joy inside of his mind where he's like, guess what? Walmart hit me up today. It's like it's the cease and desist. And he goes, I'm just going to slow play this one, take my time with it, you know? And I was like, what are you hoping to get? You know, like money or
what's
something?
What's the best end game? Case scenario
Yeah, what's
here?
The end game? And he's like, it's just for fun right now. You know?
Like, is your friend Matthew McConaughey?
No, he should be.
Okay.
McConaughey and I should be boys. And if you're listening, McConaughey, I'm out here. I'm ready to fucking party. I'm in L.A. hit me up. Or find me on pretrunk.org. You know, either way.
I've got a profile on there. New profile.
Yeah.
Before and after pics.
Yeah. Or meet me at a fruit stand because that's all the trunk eats. You know, the trunk eats. Just grab a pail of apples. Yeah.
Is it a red apple or a green apple? I feel like it's.
I go both because I like things sweet. Because it goes straight up the ass, you know? Because it thinks it's a mouth.
Oh.
It reaches up, grabs it, stuffs it up.
Muscle
memory is all that is.
Yeah.
Muscle memory.
Suppositories daily.
Suppositories.
Apple suppositories.
Daily.
Apple daily.
So what are you working on right now, Freddie? What do you got in the hopper?
So we're working on a show called Dimension 404. It's going to be like, you guys see Black Mirror?
Yeah, I love Black Mirror.
Black Mirror is great, except you want to kill yourself at the end of it because it's super depressing.
I know, but that's what I like about it. The sickness, because the sickness part is the last 5 minutes of what it happens.
Yeah.
When he has to fuck that pig. If you haven't seen it, you should.
Oh my god!
It's a TV show on Netflix. It's incredible. By the way, they're doing a new season.
They are,
because it was one of those things that everybody talked about.
Yeah.
And now they're doing a new season of it. It is really, really good. Every show makes you question yourself and the world around you today. And it's like when that guy's fucking that pig. Holy shit!
Yeah. Social media one.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
So I want to see
Five Mirrors is a good show. So our show is going to be, it's not quite that, because we're basically doing like a Twilight Zone sort of thing, so every single episode is like a different
side. Are they one-offs? There's no connecting through line?
Yeah. Okay. I think there's like the universe kind of connects a little bit, but then the idea is that like, it's like the way that I describe it is like, it's like Black Mirror, except you don't want to kill yourself at the end of it. It's a little more lighthearted.
A little more upbeat.
Yeah.
Are you guys going Hulu with that?
Yeah, we're going because you guys are with Hulu.
Right?
Yeah. So that one's going down Hulu. We're just started pre-production. We're going to be shooting in like a month's time.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah. So that's the big one that we're working on.
Who else is starring in that?
So we're it's like crazy because like we're at the level now with this one where it's like, okay, you know, we're talking like Lionsgate and Hulu, and they're like, all right, who do you want? We're like, wait, seriously? They're like, yeah, who do you want to be this person and this person? And it's like, we can put the requests out and we'll...
Damn.
And so it's like, okay, well, shit, this person. So we're getting into casting, but hopefully we have some...
Some big names.
We have some names, hopefully. You know,
cool.
We have some
anybody attached right now?
No, not right now, not yet.
No, who's your dream list?
Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, like, it doesn't quite work if you have, if you don't know the characters so much. But like, a lot of random TV people that we've been looking at, a lot of like... Because I think that's cool. That's what's kind of cool about doing TV stuff, especially because it's an anthology series, a serialized. You know, it's like you don't have to worry about like, because TV shows usually it's like, oh, you want to do a TV show, you got your whole year is booked out because you're gonna shoot for this, and it's like it's a huge time commitment. And a lot of actors are just like, nah, I'm not gonna do that, even if it pays well, because I don't want to tie myself up in that.
Sure.
Way. But with this, it's just like, nah, show up. It's a week. You're done.
And that's
like,
great.
Once you have that, then you can start to go to like some just crazy people.
Yeah, because you've worked with some awesome people on your channel.
Yeah,
Keegan.
Oh, Key and Peele were great.
Key and Peele, man. I mean, that was my favorite
comedy right there.
Yeah. Oh,
and those guys. I'll tell you what was interesting about them is that those guys were like so analytical about it because they come from improv, right?
Sure.
They come from live comedy, and so they're used to having an audience to pounce off of, and they're like, yeah, it's a total different thing when it's like, okay, we got to think about the edit, and we got to think about, oh, are we actually just being too big because we feel like we want the crowd, like the crew, to laugh at what we're doing, or is this the right thing for the sketch? And like literally while we're shooting it, they'd be like, hold on, let me redo that one, but let me bring it back a little bit because I think in the edit you're gonna, like, they were like thinking about it on like such a higher level.
Cool.
Comedy.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa. Like,
somebody else does that on set. not to no, but I try to, and because I would tell you guys in scenes.
Yeah, you give us the knob.
Yeah.
No, all you tell me is just more Matt Best. You did that in ADR, 2 days ago.
Totally, because
more Matt Best.
If you need that energy picked up or picked down, because over the year I started off as an actor, and then before I got into directing and producing all that shit, I learned cheats. So I'm a worse actor now because I know all the cheats for the edit and exactly what I need to do in the angles rather than, you know, I don't need to fucking cry with an iPod to try to get in the moment anymore.
Yeah, because you know what you're shooting, you know what you need in the edit.
Exactly.
I mean, I think that's actually important. If you're an actor, I feel like you should edit yourself because there's so many situations where it's like there'll be like stuff when we'd be like editing someone and it'd be like, they have a weird tick with their eye and they'd be like, I don't think anyone has ever just been like, hey, don't do that. Like, cause it's like, that's too much to be like, go up to someone and be like, hey, the weird thing you do with your eye fucking weirds me out. Stop. Like, but when you edit, you're like, oh, we'll just edit around that. But it's still a thing you have to edit around. It's like, if you edit yourself, you're gonna be like, oh, I shouldn't do that. You know, like you kind of need to.
I think that's what makes our whole three different groups that strong though, is we've done every
aspect
job
of production. Yeah.
Of production.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, we were super efficient with Range 15 because we just know.
No, it's super helpful because the moment you see it from beginning to end, you know what you need, you know what you don't need, you know what matters, you know?
Yeah, and one of my partners in Street Justice Film is a guy named Ivan Victor. He's one of the, I would say, top five comedy editors in town. Mm-hmm. He edited Parks and Rec, Curb Your Enthusiasm, all that stuff. And I would sit in edits with him, and I was like, what's the sign of a great actor to you?
Yeah.
And he goes, a great actor is someone who knows what the edits are going to be.
Yeah.
And one
it's
of the
like,
ones...
It's creepy. It's like looking into the future sometimes with some of these people.
And one of the ones he pointed out was Shatner, William Shatner in Range 15.
Ah.
In the edit, he was like, when he was talking to you, he turns to the door. And every time he turned to the exact same place, stopped at the exact same place, and then picked his nose just briefly like this in 7 takes in a row.
Yeah.
So it was obviously something that he had wanted to do. He had thought about the character. Yeah. And he'd stop for that exact edit every time. So he knew that, hey, I this is the choice that I want to make as an actor. This is what I want to end up in the film. And if I stop and do that every single time, they have no choice but to use it. And it, yeah, he was very, very smart about it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I was like, fuck. You learn something new every single time, but the best actors know the edits.
You know, when we're shooting sketches and stuff like that, editing in your head while you're holding the camera.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Well, you know exactly what you need. It takes so much. You're not so much shooting easier. Fucking
and that's why we could
angles.
Pump. We could pump a full sketch out, like even something just funny, less than 30 minutes.
Yeah.
We're able to just boom.
No, and you see some of the guys.
Or quality's far less than
yours. But like, yeah, but you, yeah, see, but you see some guys who will spend so much time on something, and you're just like, I remember even before, you know, like when I was like PAing and helping out on stuff, I remember just thinking, being like, what are we doing? Like, we're all wasting our time. Like, don't, like, just move on. Like,
shoot.
You have it.
Yeah.
Shoot it, you know?
Shoot, motherfucker. Yeah. That's the way I am.
Yeah.
And people get, sometimes people get pissed at me on set because I'm like, let's just shoot, motherfucker. Like, yeah, oh, well, it might not be right. Doesn't matter. We're gonna do another take.
Yeah.
So just shoot it. Let's start the fucking cameras and go.
It's digital now.
We're yeah. Not, yeah, we're not pros of film. Yeah.
Exactly.
We're not going to the pictures, kid.
Yeah. Don't you have a story with Nathan? Like, seeing the, like, during shooting, wasn't Nathan, the kid, the Nickelodeon kid.
Oh God, the dude. So there's this guy that we worked with, this guy, Nathan Kress, who he's like, he's done a lot of Nickelodeon stuff, but he's like straight up super duper good at, like, to me, the sign of like the most like insane thing I've ever seen was he was acting across from another guy, and the angle was on the other guy, so he was like slightly behind camera. And he's like, so just like maybe out of the corner of his eye, he could maybe see the screen of the camera, and he's going, and he's like 100% in the scene, and the boom starts to come down a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and like literally he moves his hand in just the right spot where the boom operator could see it, but then no one else, especially not the person he's acting with, and he was like up. And he kind of gave like a little like point up him, like, you know, thing to like have the guy be like, oh, you're about to go into shot. I'm like, how the fuck are you multitasking?
Yeah, I am an actor.
And then be like, the shot's gonna get ruined in a second unless I do this. Fix it back into it. It's like, holy shit! Like, that was the most impressed I've ever been. I was like, dude literally did four jobs while still like staring
still
up
in it.
Like,
yeah.
Holy fuck.
Yeah, and then my father died of a heroin overdose. Boom up, boom up, boom out of the shot, boom out of the shot.
It was intense.
Hey, we got a funny boom story.
Okay. Because there's a boom. Those boom guys will try to get so fucking close. And by the way, for the audience at home who doesn't know Hollywood terms, a boom mic looks like the size of from wrist to elbow, and it's furry
can
like Chewbacca.
Me? Can they see me?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm acting it's
furry
right
like
now.
Chewbacca, and it's on a stick that's about 10 feet long, and their arms are so tired. They usually have good triceps, the boom guys.
They do.
Dude, they do Pilates, that whole lockout thing that they always do.
There's a certain, like, they gotta hold their arms straight up, and it's a very specific, which, by the way, I look at that, I'm like, how is there not, like, just like a thing on your belt.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
It's like a dick boom.
Yeah,
where you just flex your dick at the scene.
And there's nothing worse than a short boom guy.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can't. So we had a short boom guy in ours. Day two, he was fired. It was like, boom in the shot. If I said boom in the shot one more time, I was going to get tatted on my chest. Boom in the shot.
Well, my favorite is, like, we've actually worked with some of the shorter guys. They actually know it, and they have like a little step. Like, they have like a two step.
They bring an Apple box.
Yeah. You think they would maybe have chosen a different field
profession
to go into.
I know.
Like, maybe boom wasn't for them.
I know, yeah.
You never
yeah.
See, like, a short
maybe do grips. Something
you never
else.
See, like, a short bass player. You know what I mean?
It's no,
like,
you don't. Yeah.
Player.
Yeah,
an upright bass. Yeah. Yeah. They're all tall. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, so we, yeah, man.
The only thing short's being good for is just dominating countries. That's it. Starting wars.
What?
Starting wars and dominating countries.
Are dictators always short?
Yeah, Napoleon, Hitler, all those guys.
How tall was Hitler?
Tiny.
Tiny.
Little
man.
Yeah.
He's 5'4". He's 58 inches in height.
He's making things
I have
up
no,
right
I have
now.
No idea.
32
no idea. I didn't read Mein Kampf. I have no idea how tall he is.
Is it in Mein Kampf?
Yeah, you're acting like I'm the
it's
Hitler
the opening
historian.
Chapter. It tells you how tall
he
is.
I know.
The yeah.
Curse size
how much
of his dick.
Yeah. I was putting up 110 on the bench.
That's the only was able to lose a bar.
You broke it.
You broke it. You broke this wild stallion. You broke this wild stallion, Freddie Wong. Oh, man. Oh, good times on a fucking podcast, eh? So let me ask you this. With your Hulu show, I'm assuming you have a pretty big budget. How is that going to be working with a bigger budget than compared to what you're used to?
It's always like, it's funny because I heard Guillermo del Toro do a talk once, and he said the one thing that I've kept from that talk as being like genius is he always says budget's a state of mind. It's like you can approach budget and have it always be not enough, or you have to be smart about it. You always have to be smart about
it's
it.
It's like finances.
Yeah, and yeah. I remember even like there's an interview that they had with oh my gosh, how am I blanking on his name? Director, Avengers, Joss Whedon.
Yes.
And he was like, yeah, like, you know, you're going from TV budgets to, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars in Marvel. He's like, yeah, but it's always not enough. Like, it's still, it's just, it's,
yeah.
It's once you grow into it, it's like a container, right? It's just have more problems, but now you have different ways to solve it, but you also have more things you have to take care of. So it always just ends up always feeling about the same.
Or a song, too. Like, you'll get to music and you'll be like, yeah. Oh, man, I could really use that Rolling Stones song, you know? And it's yeah, that'll jack
totally
up.
Totally changes. Yeah, yeah. Little things like that just change it up. And so it's always like, it always comes down to just, you never feel like you're in a place where you're like, I got all the money I need to do this. And I think that's, you don't want to be in that place. Because the moment you get there, like, you look at the movies where the directors have had, like, all the money in the world or all the creative control they wanted, and they're all crappy movies.
Yeah.
There's never anything creatively that comes good. That
I
good
mean,
that comes
Tommy Wiseau, though, when he did The Room, I felt like he got it right. He needed the buddy. That was the budget he needed. And,
that was everything he needed.
That was
that
everything
one.
He needed for that. And I think he's the only one in the history that's gotten it right. You know,
he nailed it.
What about? I mean, look at Avatar. They went fucking ten months over schedule.
And they just said they're doing four back to back, starting in
Avatar.
What? Four Avatars back to back?
Fucking kidding
no.
me?
No. And they're starting in what? 2017 is the first one that's going to be released. And there'll be one every 2 years for the rest of our lives.
There was a huge meltdown with Sigourney Weaver and the director on that one.
Sigourney Beaver?
Yeah.
In what?
In Avatar.
Oh man!
Like a huge fight broke out
all the way around with James Cameron. You're everybody's getting yelled at.
Over giving, getting an extra water.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, there wasn't enough blue. Like, imagine sitting in New Zealand for fucking 19 months on that goddamn thing.
Well, I love the fact that James Cameron clearly is just an underwater explorer who just does movies on the side.
Yeah. I think he only got rich so he could become Jacques Cousteau.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, what's crazy is I remember reading a thing that it's like the Marianas Trench has only been visited by like three people, like the first explorers back in the, you know, like 60s, so and so. And James Cameron.
James
Wait,
Cameron.
Sorry, what?
Like, yeah.
Yes.
James Cameron, he went down the deepest, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's like, what?
In the world record
by
book.
By himself?
Yes, by, yeah, himself. By himself.
What?
And he paid for the fucking submarine. He paid for that boat.
Yeah, he's insane.
And then they shot it, and they had to figure out cameras and underwater pressure and all that shit for these cameras just to document his own shit. If there was a bigger vanity project than that, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. That'd be like me getting Scorsese together and fucking Spielberg to film me jack off in slow-mo and like different angles just so I could replay it
Dude,
for myself.
I will do that. If I get really rich, I will do that.
I know, but who does that?
And it was what is the dumb thing that you would do if you had just $1 billion right now?
Oh, man.
Well, there was $100 million.
Jared.
No, but like first, just
Jimmy
like,
John's, all the sandwiches would be named after him.
It'd be
19 forms of can I have a Jared Italian? Oh, I feel like a Jared meatball today. You know, like, can I get that Jared chicken parm? That'd be great. His is answered. His is already answered. Matt, I would say, live-in tattoo artists. You buy the grotto because the Playboy is for sale. The Playboy house
yes,
is for
I
sale.
Would.
You
would.
Buy that.
Right, yeah.
It is. I think you would kill. You would get a hitman for Dan Bilzerian. We'd get him out of there.
No, I would. We have boxing ring. You set the boxing ring up in there.
Yeah.
Would just have an inclusive resort my whole life of boobs and whiskey and a maid, and you would have to do stand up for me.
Yeah. I would pop in, but obviously you'd have
I would,
to pay
I would,
me.
I would do it. You know, Eminem used to have a Taco Bell in his house, right?
Oh, was that Eminem?
Yeah,
somebody had
I
a Taco
so.
Bell in their house.
I would put the Jimmy John's in the house.
That'd be Jimmy John's in the house with a full Jimmy John's staff.
Jimmy John's franchise in your house.
Yeah. You know what? I would buy out Papa John. That motherfucker is in every... He puts himself in his own commercials.
Right?
Like he wants to be cool. I would put him in my house and pay him to make my fucking pizzas. And be like, hey, I've got a film crew in here today. Guess who's not going to be on camera, Papa John? You dumb fuck.
Dude, your hatred for Papa John
I hate
is
him,
one of my favorite
he's the,
things.
He's the dad at a teenage sleepover who tells like the 16-year-old girls, hey, do you do coke? I've got some coke. I won't tell your parents.
He just keeps going down.
To
the basement where all the girls are, and the wife's like, "What do you keep going?" I was just gonna make sure they had enough pillows. I'm bringing down more pillows.
They're watching Teen Witch.
And he's coming down there, flexing.
Yeah, exactly.
You guys got enough pillows?
Yeah, yeah. Hey, I've got some purple kush in my Maserati in the garage. Hey, you guys can smoke it.
It's
I'm
not
cool.
Maserati.
I'm not gonna go. Yeah, I'm not gonna say anything. I'm not. He just keeps saying I'm not gonna say anything all night to the kids.
especially to you, Miranda. Your mom's a bitch.
Yeah. I saw a Domino's truck in front of her house. Fuck you, Miranda. you cunt rag. But by the way, dude, if you do coke, I got some coke upstairs. Go to the guest bedroom. You know.
Espresso rock.
Yeah, you walk. Go to the stairs and just go all the way up. Go all the way up. Get that coke up there. Get that fucking coke out of there, Miranda. What would you do? What would you do with $1 billion?
I would do. So real quick, by the way, just to mention, just because you're the Jimmy Johnson reminded me of it. I had a friend of mine who worked on a thing, and they shot on David Copperfield's private island.
Oh yeah.
David Copperfield has multiple beaches. That's how big this island is. He has a beach where a dude gets up at 6 in the morning and rakes like a pattern into it, so it's like a wavy pattern into it, regardless of whether or not David Copperfield is actually there.
Oh, I love that.
Like full-time job.
I hope he has like a security camera to ensure to that when sure he's not there, he's still fucking,
and this break the sand, fucker!
This goes back to that conversation I said I had when we were at our t-shirt production factory, and this old dude's job all day is to just pressure wash the screens. His quality of life is amazing. All he does, there's no paperwork that's missing signatures. All he's got to do is rake his lines.
Yeah, that's
and
Jared,
the day is
$1 billion. Like, you literally have $600 million in the bank, Jared. I know.
That's Jared. That's what he does. By the way, I see Copperfield though just popping out of the house occasionally, being
just
like
checking.
Yeah, and just being like, hey,
just making sure.
If this shit isn't done, I'll make you disappear,
your
motherfucker.
Hey, guess what? Yeah. I've got a resume from Stan for this job.
Yeah. And then he disappears.
Yeah.
Like, see you later, dude.
Smoke bomb down. It's just like, what the fuck?
What the fuck? And there's just Magnum condoms everywhere. Copperfield, motherfucker.
So what would you do?
I'll do this. I've always wanted to make a theme park. That's a scary theme park. But the problem is when you go to like Halloween Horror Nights and stuff like that, it's like, you know, at some deep level, you're like, it's a guy in an act. It's a dude who's got, like, if I'm on Craigslist and he's going to run at me and he can't physically touch me because of liability reasons. I want to make a scary theme park that is based on the actual fear we have when we go into theme parks, which is mechanical failure. So every single ride, you're like, you get on it, and like roller coaster goes up, and the thing comes up, and you're just like, oh shit, you gotta pull it down. You're just like, was that supposed to happen?
Yeah, and it leaves you there for like 15 minutes.
You are a dark motherfucker. Yeah. Right?
This is the greatest story I've ever heard with $1 billion.
Like every single, it'll last for like 2 months before all the, you know, but every single like every single employee is an actor, and it's like, is he high? And the guy's like, just get in the car, man. And it'll start, and people are still like getting in. Like, what the fuck? Like, when you go to the roller coaster,
there's a hired
stunt guy who runs in front of the coaster to get his hat. And everyone's like, oh my god, we almost killed a guy. So the whole time, you're just like, I don't want to be here. I won't back.
Yes.
And every day, so the park closes at, say, like 10.
Yeah.
What actually happens is it closes at any time between 9 and 10 o'clock because at it's a scripted event. Like 9:15.
Yeah, the carousel.
Paramedics come in. Yeah. Like, we're closed. Someone died. Like, you guys have to get out. Everyone has to get out. Like, you don't want to go back to this place.
One of the roller coasters goes on a 15-cycle repeat because homeboy just checked out.
Yeah, he's just going, there's no one here. He's going to keep going.
He's like, I'll be right back. I'll be right back in
free
five.
Free ride, chic.
Yeah.
Or even better, like when you get past through that main area, you see like him and three other guys like fierce, like sparks are coming shit.
And an electrical fire on the gearbox. No, you're good. You're good.
Someone's just like constantly mopping up blood. Just like, what the fuck was that?
Just constantly mopping up blood in the pot. Yeah.
You got some cones around
you. Yeah. There's a dead whale that's half out of the tank, and you were like, the sea exhibit's closed today.
Yeah. It's like, that's the thing about it's like half of the thing is just closed.
They're and you're like, man, what the fuck? You get in one of those boats, like a small world, but the water's just leaking in.
Hey,
guys, hang 10. You throw in life rafts. Just hang 10. Just go, put the vest on. Yeah. Vest up. Yeah.
It's like it started out, it's like a dark coaster. It's like, don't put your hands up. it's like literally all you have to do to ruin someone's roller coaster ride at the beginning of it is like, real quick, oh, before you guys, don't put your hands up on this one.
Whatever you do, don't put your hands up, all right? Yeah. They give you shackles, you got to put your hands in the thing.
Mary's standing there, I did.
I put my hands up, guys.
We love you.
I put my hands up, guys.
Every worker's missing a limb. And hey, dude, you know, it happens.
Yeah, you just
gotta pay that rent.
Yeah. Actually, what freaks you out more than anything is it's human beings in places that you weren't expecting them running in the other direction. So it's like you're going up the roller coaster and there's a guy like just like hauling ass up the stairs. You're just like, what is going on? What?
Oh man, we're with like a really, like a newborn baby that's in blood, and where they were just like, it happened. It came out. She was crowding
all
on the ride.
I don't know. Pouring obnoxious amounts of booze. Yeah. 7-Eleven big golf cup.
Dude's in the booth and it's just full of cans.
They've all got the same name on their tag. Yeah. It's Doug. Yeah. Everybody's Doug in the park. Doug. You're like, what the fuck?
It's like, you don't want to eat there? You're just like, I'm going to get food poisoning.
Yeah. The guy doing the cotton candy is just doing it with his hand. And then you lick it off his arm. You want to lick?
Here's the thing. The reason why it's $1 billion, everything is the safest thing. Like, right, you know what I'm saying? Everything's perfectly sterilized. But the impression is, you're just like, I don't ever want to come here.
That it's the filthiest place of all goddamn time.
It's like Adventureland.
Yeah.
Yes. Or Adventure Park.
Do you have a name for it, though?
Yeah, do you have a name for it?
Did you see that documentary?
Yes, I did.
Oh, my God, it's so good.
I think it's just called Scary Park. And like, everyone's like, this sounds lame. It's like, can you survive Scary Park? It's like, I survived Scary Park. 20 minutes later, it's like, we have to go.
Yeah, I could not survive Scary Park.
I want a refund immediately. Yeah. That's the problem, is that everybody would get
refunds. I wrote Superman. I'm not scared about Scary Park.
Yeah. No way. When you check in with your tickets, they tell you there's an on-site dentist. Like, we have a dentist on site just in case. We have an on site dentist. Why? Why the fuck would I need a dentist today? Like, so scary part.
Orthopedic surgeons at BC Gate. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So circle out the map. It's like, this is on my map. I don't need this circle. It's okay. It's like, no, yeah, it's okay.
Hey, can your kid stand under here? Okay, cool. There's a pediatrician also in the back. Okay, whatever happened. There's a pediatrician on staff in the back.
It's like you must be this tall. It's like the thing's loose. You're like, how tall do you need to be?
Yeah.
Yeah. You kind of shake it down. Ah, oh, you're good, dude.
Yeah.
No, I'm like a foot under it. You're fine.
You're totally fine.
No, you have one that's, you cannot be over this tall.
Yeah.
What is it? Why can't semantics?
Why can't I be over 5'6"? Like, I don't get lawyers.
Yeah. Don't worry about the lawyers. The suits, man. They don't know how to fucking party, dude.
That's the best idea of all time. Because everybody's asked that question in the history of man. We finally have the ultimate answer.
It'll be bankrupt within 2 months.
2 months, but it'll be the greatest goddamn thrill ride of your life.
It'll be the greatest in 2 months.
And then the weeds will grow over it, and you can use it to shoot at.
Yeah. Exactly. There's a sign, you'll never get the blood off your pants. So if you're worried about that, the blood, it's hard to wash out.
So you need tarps. Why do I need like a poncho for this one? This isn't a wet ride. It's like
a poncho.
You need the poncho for this one.
Yeah, you're gonna need the poncho. Trust me.
Please wear clothes. Yeah. Can you
imagine, like, if people didn't know that part of the ride, like, they have a dummy that gets ejected out and just
vaporized.
You've got to give your name before they go in, and they show flashes of your dead relatives, like real quick and brief, like on rides. They're like, wait, shit. Is that my grandfather? Oh, fuck, man. It's just like, man. But it's only for like 2 frames, you know? And it's like, was that grandpa? Like, really fucked up shit. Oh, man.
That's what I do with $1 billion.
With $1 billion.
Anybody out there who wants to make Scary Park a reality, let's talk.
Dude, let's do it. There's plenty of people out there that have more than a few billion.
Zuckerberg, hit him up. Hit up Freddie Wong.
Why not just do that for fun? If you have 50 billion, like, why not?
Nobody rich does cool shit.
No,
that's why.
They don't.
No, it's they all don't. Fucking boring, like, shit.
If I had 4 billion, I would start remaking my own, remaking famous movies.
No, it's real crazy. No, but it's crazy because your reality is different.
It is.
Because I have a friend of mine, they had, like, his family, like, you know, his uncle had, like, a, you know, like, a gallery, and they had a painting that someone bought, and that someone was the person who owned the insurance policy on the Twin Towers. So they, like, there was just some crazy old rich family.
Wow.
And he's like, his uncle's like, you gotta come and talk, just see what this place is like. They went in there and just talking to the people. He was like, it was clear from the conversation. It was just like basic stuff they just didn't even know existed. It was just the idea of like, oh, like supermarkets. How's that work? Like, it's just like crazy. It's just a different reality. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, so I think at a certain level, to get that kind of money, you have to kind of be, I feel like you have to be born into it, right? It's like, it's old money from like when coal was a thing, you know?
Yeah,
like,
you don't
really have it. Even
oil,
like
gas,
even like the tech
hard goods,
are still like, it's not that
one,
level.
1 to 2
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like the level of like, oh, this is world changing amounts of money. And when you get in there, it's just, the world just, it feels like gotta be a different thing to you.
Yeah.
Like, it's just that's what it is.
I feel like we've talked about this in the podcast before. I don't feel like our lives would change at all, to be honest with you.
We do so much fun stuff.
I know. Do you ever think about, because I was thinking about that. I'm like, man, if I had $1 billion, like, I would probably, like, there's some charitable stuff that I would want to go to. I think there's some causes that I'm really interested in. But then I'm like, you know what? Actually, the fact that I'm thinking like that means I'm never going to get $1 billion, right? Because the guy who gets $1 billion is the one who's like, no, I'm going to fucking do, like, you know, the people who get
I'm gonna
that.
I'm going to burn down the charity, take the insurance policy to the fucking kids. You're like, whoa, and it's like, God!
Yeah. And that guy's the billionaire, yeah, right? Because they have that mindset into it. Yeah, I don't know. That's what I think.
That's awesome. Well, hey, man, this has been one of our funnest episodes ever. I've laughed my dick off. You broke the wild stallion. You broke the wild stallion.
It's always good when we're all in the same room.
I know. Yeah. I know. It's great.
I think we should give him the drinking, like, let him name someone that he would like to for drinking.
Yeah, drinking bro. We do this thing called drinking bro of the week where we have somebody that's influential that we appreciate in our life that maybe you don't thank every day, maybe you don't call every day or text.
Okay.
Who is that one person that you would like to thank?
Who's is in the past for you guys? Like, is it somebody that you need to physically know, or is it just somebody?
No.
It could be whatever you want.
It can be anyone you want who is influential or means something in your life, or
a good dude.
Oh, man. I'm gonna go to the director route. I'm gonna point out, like, probably my favorite director of all time, which is a guy named Werner Herzog.
Oh, yeah.
He's a German Bavarian director.
Yes, he is.
He's the most hardcore dude
of all time. Alive.
Like, there's an interview with him. There's an interview with him.
Werner Herzog, do you know? Come on. He did that bear documentary.
There's an interview with him where he's just sitting on the side of the road, and a dude comes by and shoots him with a BB gun. But he just gets shot. He's like, okay. And they're like, this guy just drive by and shoot. He's like, it's okay. It's not a significant bullet.
That's by the way, that's the best Werner Herzog I've ever heard in my life. That's a great Werner Herzog.
That dude's
he pulled
a
handgun on a fucking DP one time on one of his shoots.
Oh, yeah. The guy was like, I'm leaving. And he's like, and he pulled a rifle out. He's like, I have two bullets in here. If you leave, one's for you and one's for me because I will have just killed you.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Oh, yeah, dude. He's fucking hardcore Henry. He is hardcore Henry.
Hardcore Henry.
And on that note, this week's podcast is, you know, typically we do it at the top. This time we're going to do it at the back. It's brought to you by Tartarus Ordnance. It is a home defense self-ammunition.
Wish a motherfucker would.
I wish a motherfucker would. Break in. Matt pew-pewed on the range with it.
Pew-pewed. It's loaded up in my Glock mag.
Yeah.
You know?
And if you go to Tartarusordnance.com and type in the keyword drinking bros, you get 10% off of all ammo. We love Tartarus, and we thank you. We wanted to cap them out on the show with us because they just re-upped for another month, so they'll be on the entire month of May as well.
Cap
we're excited
out. I
to
like
have
it.
Them.
It's funny.
And for Freddie Wong, Mr. Eli Cuevas, Mr. Matt Best, Jared Jimmy John's Taylor, not Yellow Dart, not Yellow Dart,
Yellow Dart, Jimmy John Taylor,
and Ross Big Dick Daddy Patterson. We're all the way up, and we'll see you next week.
Later.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1-pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to arrow hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.